There are some things you should always check, like the hygiene rating on your local takeaway, the setting on your razor, and whether the party actually is fancy dress. The other thing you should check is your Experian credit report, especially if you're looking to borrow money. It lets you understand what lenders see, so you can increase your chances of getting the best deals. It's dead easy to check it, and completely free. See it in seconds. Download the Experian app today.
I spent all night on this presentation, and it still looks so boring.
Try Adobe Express. It's fast, with templates and AI features for stunning presentations, flyers, and socials.
Nice. Where do I start?
You can get it for free in your app store.
Adobe Express, the quick and easy create anything app. Free.
Welcome to Peak to Pit, Ally Peak, TJ Pittinger, talking about the current events in sports all over, pros, college, high school, if we happen to feel like it. TJ, last week we started the show talking about how you had just gone to Disney and what it felt like to not wear a mask. I finally got to experience it myself. We went to Hollywood Studios on Monday, got to be mask-free out in the, you know, common areas outside, and pretty pleasant experience.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic to be able to breathe walking around in that heat. How bad was it?
It was kind of cool. It wasn't bad at all. It wasn't hot. There was kind of a breeze. For some reason, I feel like Disney's never as hot as, like, I feel like Busch Gardens is. I don't know if that's the way, like, if there's so many buildings that kind of insulates it, or a lot of the rides or most of the rides are air conditioned, so that's part of it. I don't really know what it is, but I feel like I'm never particularly hot at Disney. Especially if I don't have a piece of fabric across my face.
I think the rides and lines at Disney help. A lot of Busch Gardens lines are outside, so you don't ever get to take that break. And so it's just constant heat all the time. They do have the fans, which do a decent job. But yeah, I think that the fact that Disney, you can go indoors and kind of cool off on a lot of the rides is super helpful. They're also really shaded well. Not that Busch Gardens isn't shaded, but we went to Animal Kingdom a few weeks ago, and the shading there helps a ton. Basically, the whole park with the trees and forest and jungle kind of theme is shaded. And so that's kind of nice to be able to walk through a lot of that. Less shaded at Magic Kingdom when we were there a couple of weeks ago, but certainly nice to be able to go indoors on some of the lines. But yeah, I saw some of the pictures. It looks like you guys had a great time. The big girls are able to ride some stuff now.
Able to ride everything there except Rock and Roller Coaster, because Rock and Roller Coaster is 48 inches, which is, I think, is the tallest ride of any of the Disney parks. And I think it's the only roller coaster in any of the parks that they've never ridden. But over COVID, we grew tall enough. Now they're both about 50 inches. So both got to ride. They thought it was super cool. I had actually never been on it before, so I enjoyed it as well. We had my niece with us, who used to love roller coasters. She's the same age as them. She just turned 7 like 2 weeks ago. She had then decided she hated roller coasters, but in the last couple of times that we've gone, we've convinced her that, like, no, they're actually super fun. She went on Rock and Roller Coaster. If any of you look at my social media at all, you will see she is the child crying in our Rock and Roller Coaster pictures. So she was not quite as much a fan of that ride as my two were.
My sister, when we were younger, was very much like that. I want to ride it. My dad made her ride it. And then as soon as we got off, it was, I want to ride it again. And, you know, little kid, not understanding that long line, we're not riding it again right now. So how was the, when we went to Magic Kingdom a couple of weeks ago, the lines were not bad, but we were only doing, like, the little kid stuff.
We always have children with us not tall enough to ride the ride. So that obviously makes it better. It's essentially like having a fast pass. But they weren't too bad. I did feel like the park was more crowded than it's been, for sure. And I'm sure that's a combination of a couple of things. Disney never tells us exactly what occupancy is, but they did tell us that with the most recent CDC updates that they were going to be increasing capacity. The other thing is, I think people that were unwilling to go until the mask was at least lifted a little bit, which is where we are right now. So I think those people are back. But then also, if you have a silver pass, this is the last week until you're blocked out for till August like 4th or something like that. So I think that that's it too. And then couple that with Memorial Day weekend coming up this weekend. It was busy. There were a lot of people, but I honestly didn't feel like the lines were very long. Kids had fun. I still think, because they're kind of social distancing in these lines still, that the numbers aren't necessarily accurate. I think they're on the lower end than what's advertising, which is always nice. But it was fun. Yeah. It was good. And we actually even got a group for Rise of Resistance, which, full transparency, I've never seen Star Wars. My children have never seen Star Wars, but they know that there's a ride that is really difficult to get a spot on. So that's what makes it appealing to them. I stayed with the three kids that were not tall enough, but Eric went, and my sister Gabby went, and then all the rest of the kids, and they said it was awesome.
Cool. Did you see any Tim Tebow jerseys out there?
You know what's funny? I did. Not Jacksonville Jaguars Tim Tebow jerseys, but I did see Florida Gator Tim Tebow jerseys, and this is the perfect transition because Tim Tebow has the highest selling jersey in the NFL currently. Also, he has sold more jerseys than any rookie that was drafted this year, which we talked about this on the show, and you had told me you didn't know who would be buying jerseys except for Gator fans. But honestly, I knew that this would happen. This is literally the reason the Jaguars signed him to this, is because it's marketing, right? And he's got the top selling.
Yeah, I never thought it was for football. I agree with you there. I don't think you said you were not thinking
that a bajillion jerseys were going to sell. He currently has the highest selling men's jersey, women's jersey, men's t-shirt, women's t-shirt, and kids apparel. And I knew that that was going to happen. Yeah. I mean, that doesn't mean that in a few months there's not going to be a ton of kids running around Africa in Tim Tebow jerseys, but.
They're going to be at your local Goodwill. Right now, you can get them half price. I didn't know that people would go out and moronically buy jerseys for Tim Tebow again. I also didn't know that we were going to have a toilet paper shortage last year and a gas shortage this year. But people's idiocy never ceases to amaze me. And so this ranks right up there on the list with those other things. So what I do want to know is, what is there a return policy? Can you get your money back when he gets cut? Like, what does that look like? Does it go to charity?
No return policy. What does that look like?
I wish there was a label. You know, I have to fill out, you know, your name and address, and obviously your credit card information when you do buy a jersey. I wish there was a slot that was, you know, why are you buying this? You know, faith-based, yeah. Jersey buy. I'm a Gator fan. I'm a Jaguars fan. I like throwing money away, whatever the reason. I wish there was a, like, why are you buying this?
What's interesting is he has sold more jerseys than Trevor Lawrence, but Trevor Lawrence is in the top five for jersey sales, athletes wise. So the fact that the Jags have two of the top five athletes with jersey sales right now is kind of a phenomenon in itself, right? Like, that's kind of a wild situation, not something that's normal. Tom Brady, Devonta Smith, and Trey Lance are the others that are up there. But you know, there's no return policy. You guys are stuck with these Tim Tebow jerseys forever, but this was the reason that it was done. And I think that Tim Tebow detractors, and I'm not even calling you a Tim Tebow detractor because I don't think that you have anything against him personally at all, but this is what they were.
Oh, I do. Saturdays in the mid-2000s.
You don't have anything against him personally. You can wish he didn't beat you, but it's not like you're like, you know, I hate this person or whatever. But I do think that he's polarizing, right? There's people that can't stand him, but I think that they are missing how popular he really still is, which is wild, but he is. But you know, and I don't know if you read this Mike Bianchi article that came out this week, and I know Mike Bianchi himself is polarizing. I used to do a radio show with him for years, and I actually really like him. But he basically wrote a story that was like, why root against the guy? If we're off the field, there you probably cannot find a better person. So if somebody was going to have a crazy success story 10 years down the road, or even, you know, not end up succeeding, but get this shot, it should be him.
Yeah, I mean, To me, I have the same kind of thought on like, I very rarely do I root against individual players. I'm more so indifferent. Like, I barely have time to watch my favorite players and cheer them on. I certainly don't have time to tune into, I mean, really, even at this point, unless it's like Florida playing a massive game like Alabama or Georgia or something like that, I don't even have time to watch my rivals and cheer against them, right? Because we're so busy. But yeah, I agree with that. Like, it kind of drives me nuts that people cheer against greatness, and so I want to very much remove, you know, the idea that people are cheering against Tebow because of greatness, right? And not that he wasn't great.
I don't
in college,
even know that I think it's greatness. I think that he just rubs people the wrong way.
My point is people do the same thing with LeBron. People do the same thing with Serena Williams. People do the same thing with Kobe or Michael, right? Like, Kobe dies and everybody, you know, was the biggest Kobe fan ever. But like, people do the same thing when those guys are playing, right? They hate on greatness, right? Like, for whatever reason, people hate the Saban dynasty, right? Nobody appreciates greatness unless you're an Alabama fan. Nobody appreciates what Bowden or Spurrier or Urban or Dabo or any of these guys have done. You just hate on them, right? Like, it's easy to hate greatness. And so for whatever reason, but I don't even have the energy for that. I don't have the energy to cheer again. I just don't care that much. I'm just like, irrelevant. To me, the Tebow thing, I don't know. And so, yeah, I agree with Bianchi there that like, why hate on him? I don't know that really that many people even do hate on him. I think it's more, they just kind of see it as what we've kind of said, it's a marketing ploy. It's stupid. It's going to be irrelevant. He's not going to play, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't know that many people, there are certainly people that are hating on Tebow and want to see him fail for whatever reason. They disagree with his religious beliefs. They hated him when he was in college. They just hate,
there are,
you know,
I've
the great player
so
he was then.
I've had so many people tell me that they think that he more people is fake, or they don't believe that he is the way that he's portrayed. And I will tell you this, if that is your reason for not, you know, not wanting Tim Tebow to succeed, I've got news for you. This is a person that I knew that played with my husband, that played with my brother. What you see is literally what you get. That is him there. That is not in any way an act. That is not a front. That is not like, you know, he couldn't possibly be that good or whatever. I mean, that literally, that's him.
Yeah, I don't really have any kind of doubts.
Yeah, no, I
about
know
that,
you don't, but that, I think that there are people in general.
I just think that he's kind of irrelevant.
Clearly not.
As a football player, as a football player is my take. I think that he doesn't really, you know, it's not going to
the only
do
like
anything.
Opinions that
it's
I could totally have
dumb.
Respect for are it's been 10 years and it is hard enough to be in NFL shape when you are constantly doing it. When you've been out for 10 years, that's really, really difficult. And it's really hard to imagine somebody being able to compete at that level still when they've been out of it for that long. So I can totally respect that stance. Yeah. I can also completely respect the stance of it's crazy to think that it's just that easy to switch positions. So I can completely and totally respect, understand, wrap my head around those reasons for thinking that he will fail. Right. But anything outside of that, I think is more about the person that has the feeling than him.
Yeah. And I would say that maybe not, because look at the jersey sales again. I was going to say, I would think that most people are rational, but
they're not. Are you new to the sports world?
Right.
Because what?
But I think that in this situation, there are at least as many people that are just kind of rolling their eyes and saying, this is stupid, as there are that just truly hate Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that most people at this point
don't really hate Tim Tebow. And I'm not saying there's nobody that does. I think most people are just like, dude, seriously, like, yeah, who cares at this point? You know, like, move on, you know, like, that would be my gut on that, is that most people don't, you know, Bianchi's article is fine, but I don't think there's that many people hate him. I think that it's just like kind of eye roll. This is dumb. This isn't going to work. All right. Next.
I don't know. I'm interested to watch how this goes. I do think that there are a decent number of people who are really, really, like, disgusted is not the right word, but like, just kind of upset that this is even happening, which I think is a silly response to have. I think that you can come.
People also want to be proven true. Right. And so it's not necessarily that they're cheering against Tebow, but it's, if I say this isn't going
then
to
you,
work,
you're all in
then
on
I'm going
to
cheer to be
work.
Right. I'm cheering for myself to be right, not necessarily right against Tebow. Right. So that's another.
Right.
Kind of
and that may very so, much be true.
All right, cool. So maybe next week will be our first episode in the last month that doesn't discuss Tebow, but probably not. Something else will happen, right? Like, he'll be named the starting quarterback or whatever. So anyway, we'll see though. I'm not confident that we don't talk about him next week, at least just to keep the streak alive. Phil Mickelson this weekend.
Yes.
Did you catch any of the PGA
so
championship?
My dad called
or did you
on
see the
Sunday
highlight?
Afternoon. And was like, oh my God, are you watching this right now? Which, it, like, anybody that's ever met my dad knows that that call happens like on a somewhat regular basis. So I'm never really surprised or that motivated to like hurry up and turn on whatever he's watching. But anyway, I'm like, I'm playing with the kids in the backyard. I have no idea what you're talking about. He's like, go turn on the TV. Phil Mickelson's about to win. This is incredible, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, of course, we go in and turn it on, and we watched it, and it is super cool. He becomes the oldest player to ever win a PGA Tour championship. He's like 50 years and some months old or whatever. It was very cool. I mean, very cool. The crowd was super into it, which if you watch a lot of golf, like most of the time the crowd is relatively silent. This crowd was super into it. He actually said that Tom Brady was one of his inspirations for staying in good enough shape to make this a possibility. And if you were watching Twitter that night, Tom Brady tweeted out, "That's my quarterback," which I thought was really funny. And I don't, if you remember, they played together in the pros tournament. I think wasn't it Tiger and Peyton Manning, and then Mickelson and Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that played together. Yeah. And that was basically like our first live sporting event after the lockdown.
I remember that. Yeah. Back in, May or June or something.
I mean, like everybody like tuned in because it literally was the only sport in months. It was
good
fun
too.
And they were funny
really
with each other.
That would have been fun. I was up at Corona Cigar in Tampa. Like, that was a fun, like,
I would have watched it too, but like, it might as well have been the Super Bowl
great
because of the circumstances of what we were in.
Oh yeah. The ratings were incredible. That came out. And then the Jordan doc came out and we were just like, okay,
right,
life is back.
But we're going to survive. Like, we're going to make it. Not too long after that, we got some word that like college football potentially was going to happen despite the Big Ten. So yeah, I mean, but that was fun. And I mean, what a freaking accomplishment.
Yeah, no, super, super cool to see. I mean, if I had told you in 2021 that Brady and Phil and Tebow would be back, like all guys that were dominating like 10 or 15 years ago. I mean, I guess Brady's never really stopped, but all of them back before the U. So it's cool to see. Also at the tournament, we talked about this. Brooks Koepka, Florida State alum, went out and put out a good product, finished second, one stroke behind Phil, but could not pull off the comeback, couldn't pull off the win, but finished second at the PGA Championship. He got into a Bryson DeChambeau afterward. Bryson was kind of giving him a hard time while interviewing him after his second place finish. And Brooks kind of snapped back at him. Did you like the fire that Brooks had there? What were your thoughts there?
Okay, so first, my first exposure to this, the full video, is when you sent it to me. Prior to that, I had seen like memes of this. But yeah, I mean, he's pissed. He's a competitor, right? Like, nobody likes to come in second place. I might argue that it's worse to come in second place than, like, you know, sixth or seventh, because you're right there, right on the outside. He was pissed. He was not.
The paycheck say so, like, in these individual sports. Like, maybe in, like, football.
But that,
like,
doesn't change anything for the competitive level of, you know, these guys, right? No. And I just thought it was funny. He had a snappy comeback. He thought the question was stupid. He kind of let him know that. And I'm super excited we get to watch this video for years to come.
Yeah, no, it was perfect. It's been memed and gifted and, you know, so many different, you know, funny things have now come out of that. So absolutely hilarious. I told you before, but we had his college coach on, Trey Jones, on the FSU pod, and he even kind of made a wisecrack about it. So really, really funny to see. I mean, I'm just like that, though. Like, when we used to lose games in high school, and really even, like, following Florida State for several years, really until I had kids, like, I used to be like that. I used to be, like, in a bad mood for the whole rest of the day, or if it's a night game, like, the whole next morning or something. Like, I used to take losses pretty hard. I think when we had kids, when we had Elena, that also coincided with us having Willie Taggart, and, like, all of the emotion of everything just got, like, it got beat out of me. Like, I just don't care anymore. Wins are great, but losses are just like, I got other priorities, like, whatever, like, which is a good place to be in, I feel like. Like, the losses, I mean, you know, you never like to lose, but when we lose now, I'm just like, whatever, you know, still got cute kids or whatever. So, but when I was out playing, like, when I was playing sports in high school, and certainly, you know, watching Florida State when I was in school and shortly thereafter, I used to be the same way. Like, if people would get, like, a cheap shot in, like Bryson did to Brooks, I would have reacted exactly like he did. You know, now I don't really care anymore. Like, I'm kind of like, whatever. So I totally get it.
So my husband reacts like that if we lose a 6U soccer game. So not something I can relate to at all. Though we have kids, it's not that big of a deal, because that's not how it works in the Wilbur household.
Yeah, my kids aren't playing anything just yet, but I'm assuming that when they start into sports, I will get some of that back, especially when they start getting into the more competitive stuff, whether they play sports in high school or stuff like that. Like, I can see myself being that dad again. My dad was that dad.
And I married that dad. So, I am that mom, to be fair. I would never yell at my own children or anything like that. But, like, I care if we win.
But I'll let a ref.
Oh, yeah. I'll let a ref up. I actually got told during our end of the year soccer tournament, the ref was not calling things the same way. And I let him know that. And he came over and told me if I said anything else, I wasn't going to be able to watch from the sidelines anymore. So I had to reel it back.
That's hilarious. So
he called the game better after that, though. So yeah, well, scared, you know, do your job, and then you don't have to be scared of me. It's fine.
Brooks and Bryson was great. Okay, we talked about this just before. We'll maybe do this and wrap up. Maybe one more thing after it, but we talked about this. Florida has the 9th best odds at winning a title this year. Ahead of Florida is Texas, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Iowa State, Oklahoma, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, and then Alabama won. So I'm sorry, Florida actually has the 10th best odds at winning a title. How's that sound to you? Florida being right around a top 10 team this year?
I mean, we don't know a whole lot about this Florida team, right? They're replacing pretty much everything. So I would say that that's probably a little bit on the high side, just with all of the unknowns that we have. That doesn't mean that Florida couldn't be there or higher by the end of the season, but I don't feel like we've seen anything to necessarily justify that. However, I would say the same thing about Georgia being up there as well. But I mean, I like it. I'll take it.
those are the expectations that you're okay with, is like the 10th best team?
I mean, listen, I'm a person that wants a championship every single year. I just think that when you have a new quarterback, that Florida's got a lot of offensive weapons right now, right? So I think that that's good. But when you're breaking in a new quarterback, that basically determines your success or failure more than likely. And we don't, it's a question mark at this point. So it's very hard for me to tell you what I expect. I also think that Florida's schedule is a lot harder this year than especially last year, but just in previous years. Florida opens the SEC schedule with Alabama. So if Florida were to make a playoff run, it requires beating Alabama twice, or at the very least beating Alabama one of two times and then having things fall your way. So that already makes the season difficult, right? I'm looking at Florida's schedule right now. So they open with Florida Atlantic, which obviously will be a win. They go to Tampa and play South Florida. That'll be a win. September 18th, my birthday weekend, they play Alabama in Gainesville. That's going to be really hard to get a win. And I guess if you're going to split games with Alabama, you want to lose the first one. The second one in the SEC championship games, what's going to matter? Tennessee and Kentucky, Vanderbilt should be wins. LSU, I think, was an anomaly last year. LSU, even though they beat Florida, but in general, LSU is a better team than we saw on the field. I think they'll be better this year. So I think that will be a tough game. Don't really know what to expect with South Carolina, new coaching staff. My assumption is that Florida beats them. Samford should be a win. Missouri honestly always gives Florida some trouble. It should be a win, but who knows? Georgia, Florida beat Georgia last year. I'd like to think that the monkey's off the back, but I would say that Georgia is kind of the same boat that Florida is in. We don't really know what to expect from them. They're talented. They have an entire roster full of five-star guys. So if that's telling us anything, that should be a formidable opponent. And then they wrap up the season, obviously, with Florida State, which I think still Florida State is a year or two away from really competing with Florida. I think that that's a win, but also it's the end of the season and it's a rivalry game. So it totally depends on how Florida State progressed through the season, what Florida found at quarterback, what injuries are going on. Like, there's just so many factors to say that that's a gimme too. So I think worst case scenario, Florida's looking at three losses. Best case scenario, Florida's looking at one loss. I mean, I guess you can sit at number 10 with one loss, but I would say it'd be hard to be much higher than that, right?
Yeah, I think that if you're only looking at those 12 games, worst case or best case scenario is one loss. But if you do only have one loss, right, then you're going to the SEC championship game, and you're probably going to take another one if we're just keeping it a buck. Like, you could avenge it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a hard situation, right? Because it's hard for Florida to open the season against Alabama, your first SEC game when you're cutting your teeth. But the flip of the coin of that is you're going to get Alabama, the worst that they're going to be all season, more than likely, that game. So if you can't beat them week three, it is going to be hard to beat them at the end of the season. However, obviously, if you're going to split them, you want to be the one that wins in the SEC championship. Now, if Florida goes into that game with one loss and figures out how to beat Alabama, they're in the playoffs and it doesn't matter. They're not sitting at 10. They're sitting in the top four. And, you know, that place, specific place, will depend on how everything else plays out. Alabama may be sitting in there with them too, though. If Alabama runs the table, loses to Florida closely in the SEC championship game, you might be looking at both of them. Like, there's literally a scenario where Florida and Alabama could play three times this season. It's unlikely, but that's an outside possibility. I think it's more than likely. If I was betting on this season, I would bet Florida finishes the season. So that's after the SEC championship game and after the bowl game with two losses.
Oh man. No, I'm definitely going higher than that. I'm going to say the bowl game is irrelevant to me, like win or lose. And we talked about that last time. I think that I got Florida at three. Best case scenario, Florida loses two games because I think they take a regular season loss. And then I think they take
an SEC championship loss. So you think that the regular, they beat Georgia then is basically.
Now, in an absolute best case scenario, yes. If you're to ask me right now, I think Georgia wins that game. Just returning the quarterback, that game, you know, went Florida's way last year. I think it goes Georgia's this year and kind of flip flops.
I didn't
for the
feel
next
like it
years.
Was. So it's like not I, like it like barely went Florida's way. Florida dominated that entire ball game.
Yeah, they played Stetson Bennett, who was terrible, and then they switched quarterbacks after that, and their offense was much, much better the rest of the year. And Florida's defense wasn't good. I think that's just how bad Bennett was. Not that Florida's offense wasn't good, because it really was in that game, but I think that game's a lot closer if they just play a different quarterback. And I think Georgia's results post-Florida kind of show that. So I think Georgia will be better. I think Florida's offense is going to take a step back after losing two first-rounders and a second-round quarterback. So I think that, I don't know, if you're asking me today, I think Florida loses that game. But in a best-case scenario, yeah, I could see Florida winning every game on the schedule except for Alabama and then losing to Alabama again in the SEC championship. So best-case scenario, I got Florida with two losses going into the bowl. And then again, I think the bowl's irrelevant because you're going to have a bunch of guys opt out and not play anyway. So who, you know, win or loss there, it's hard to say because I don't know who your opponent is or anything like that. So I'd say two losses going into the bowl is an absolute best case scenario. Worst case scenario is, I don't know, probably four losses, you know, losing to Alabama and Georgia and then losing two out of three to, you know, LSU, somebody you're not supposed to, and then like Florida State, you know, like that'd kind of be a worst case scenario. Now, I don't think that. Like, I think Florida beats Florida State. I think that the LSU game is a toss up and could go either way. But then, like you said, I mean, who knows with, you know, streaks and automatic wins sometimes turn into losses, right? Like you wouldn't have picked Florida to lose to LSU last year. You wouldn't pick Florida to lose to any of those teams you mentioned, right? Kentucky, Tennessee, South Carolina, Missouri. But fluky things happen, and every once in a while, one of those teams lucks up and beats a team that they're not supposed to, right? Or a team like Florida loses a game they're not supposed to. So I don't know. I think that a worst case scenario is like 8-4 going into the bowl game. A best case scenario is, you know, 11-2, I guess, right? 11-1, and then a loss in the SEC championship. So what'll probably happen is they'll probably lose three. Like, I think that's probably where it'll get settled on, you know. My typical outlook on most seasons and most good teams is they're going to lose, you know, they're going to lose to Alabama. They're going to split with Georgia and LSU, and then they're going to lose one more game they shouldn't. You know, that's typically how most seasons for every team not named Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama works. You lose to the best team on your schedule. You split with the teams you're even with, and then you lose one you're not supposed to because you're just not focused that week or whatever, right? And that's exactly what happened to Florida last year. So that would be my pretty easy prediction for Florida would be 9-3 with a worst case scenario at 8-4. Their over under is 8 wins. So that's kind of how Vegas sees it too, is if they do a little bit better, they'll get to 9. I mean, on absolute, you know, disaster nightmare, right, would be 7-5. Seven and five would be trouble. I think 8-4 is fine this year, but 7-5 would be big time trouble. But you've got to really lose to, for that, I mean, you've got to lose every toss-up game on your schedule, right? Like you lose to Alabama, you lose to Georgia, you lose to LSU, lose one you're not supposed to, then lose to Florida State too because your team has such a tailspin at the end of the year. So like that's kind of the nightmare on that one. So anyway, yeah, I think 10th is fine. You know, the Iowa State thing's funny. Like I don't know. I think that they're kind of just like a trendy fun thing because the Big 12 sucks so much. But yeah, I think being behind Notre Dame, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson, Oklahoma, like I wouldn't pick Florida over any of those teams right now. Yeah. So
I'd pick Florida over Notre Dame, but I think Notre Dame has an easier path, which is kind of what puts them there.
Yeah.
Right. Like I think Florida beats some of those teams. I think Big 12 teams and Notre Dame have an easier route, which is why they are where they are. But this upcoming season, Notre Dame has no affiliation with the ACC again, right? For football. Is that the case?
I mean, they play three ACC games a year,
but they're not. They're
always
not,
do and always or four ACC, but they're not in the ACC. So it's like a loose affiliation. They won't be in the conference championship game. So like that's an automatic loss taken off their schedule because they want to play Clemson.
But I'm just asking for clarification.
Yeah, Notre Dame's,
that they do not have to do that this year.
Correct. Yeah. So there's a loose affiliation, but not like a conference championship type thing.
Interesting. Okay.
So yeah, Notre Dame has, you know, us, Toledo, Purdue, Wisconsin, Cincinnati, Virginia Tech, USC, UNC, Navy, Virginia, Stanford, Georgia Tech, their only chances at losses on that schedule are Wisconsin and UNC. Like, everybody else is terrible. So they're, you know, they go 11-1, they're going to be back in the playoff and they're going to get their heads beaten by the number one seed. So if they go 10-2, they're out. So, you know, we'll see what they can do. But yeah, I mean, that's their odds have, again, nothing to do with how good they are. They're not a good team. I mean, they're a top 10 team ish, right? Top 10, 15, which is again, where I think we think Florida is. Yeah. Florida's probably going to be right around there. And so I don't know, who knows? It's tough to know how Florida will look because we haven't seen Emory, you know, have to handle the whole offense, and Trask was so much a part of what Florida did last year. So it's what can he do going forward? So I don't know. Thought it was interesting. Top 10's pretty, I'd rather be top 10 than, you know, Florida State's probably like around the top 45, 50, 60. So, you know, somewhere in there, 10's better than that. Not sure where Miami is. That's kind of an interesting one. As funny as that is, I know you laugh at it. They're going to get their heads beat in by Alabama this year. And then they don't play another good team the rest of the way. You know, like they play North Carolina, they play Florida State. Those games are typically kind of good, fun, close. But if they could keep it somewhat close with Alabama, which I don't think they do, but say they lost to Alabama by 10, then I don't know. They're going to lose again. The problem is they're going to lose again to Clemson in the ACC championship, but then you've lost to the best two teams in the country. And if you don't get your head absolutely beat in on both of them, or you found a way to upset, I mean, they're not going to upset either one of those, but you know, I think the path for them to get more wins is a little easier. I think they could be 11-1 going into that. Now their problem is, you know, Florida typically drops a game a year that they're not supposed to lose. Miami does that with like four teams, right? Like they usually go into a tailspin like the last 4 weeks of the year, and they'll lose like to Duke or Pitt or somebody like that. So certainly not something you have to worry about, but I wonder what their odds are. All right. I think that's all the time we got. We had another one, but we'll talk about it next time. Anything else before we get out of here? All right, cool. Well, we appreciate everybody tuning in, hanging out with us, and we will talk to you guys again next week.